Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dr. Kathy Simmons as we talk about efforts to establish an FMD vaccine bank in this country. Back on that in just a moment.
Today we have Hugh Sandberg, Vice Chairman with the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board, to talk about what your dollar does to drive demand for beef.
Thank you for having me today. When we talk about sustainability, it's about more than protecting your land. It's about the beef checkoff, supporting good practices, so your way of life stands the test of time. Good practices like the BQA certification. Colorado State University recently found that producers who listed their BQA certification in video auctions earned a premium on average of $16.80 per head sold. And recently we found that by continuing to improve how we take care of our land, our cattle, and overall operations, today's U.S. beef producers are producing the same amount of beef with one-third less cattle than they did four decades ago. It just goes to show when we are good stewards of the land, the land takes care of us.
Those are some incredible findings, Hugh. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To find out more about what your dollar does for the beef industry, visit yourdollardoes.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
She's the Chief Veterinary Officer of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Dr. Kathy Simmons joins us today as we talk about the efforts to establish that FMD vaccine bank that was authorized in the 2018 farm law.
We're working on implementation now, Ron, on the farm bill, and it was a great accomplishment. The animal health provisions in the farm bill, it was a three-legged stool, and that three-legged stool had a preparedness program, and it has also monies for the National Animal Health Laboratory Network, and then finally, as you stated, monies for a National Animal Vaccine Bank. We're interested in all three legs of this chair, and we're working along with that. They recently, USDA, announced their first-year funding, and it's much along the goals that we had, you know, discussed as we moved through with the bill. Mm-hmm. So no surprises there, really. Okay. The vaccine bank is at the stage where they're just completed a sources sought, which means they have asked the drug companies what they could provide and how much they could provide it for, and they are making their decisions on what vaccines to purchase and how much to spend.
How do you do that? In other words, before we talk the other legs, this whole concept of picking out the various strains, how do you, is it a gamble?
Well, no, I think it's a scientific and educated guess, to be honest with you. We have virologists on staff at USDA who work with international virologists and look at what is identified as the most at-risk strains for coming into our country. And I think right now they're looking at picking the top 10 or 12 strain. Mm-hmm. And of course, that information is confidential because you don't want that to get out what you have and what you don't have, mm-hmm. because there's always the concern for intentional incursion of that virus through bioterrorism. So, you know, that's confidential information, but I do know that the people who have worked on it are really good in their field, mm-hmm. and I think they're going to make good decisions on that. So we've done that in the past, so it's nothing new when we've had vaccine in the past. We're just trying to get to levels that we feel are more appropriate now. And the funding will help that. We're also looking at some of these new novel vaccine technologies where we can get a vaccine platform and then alter that platform to take into account the different serotypes so that we don't have to make completely new vaccines. So that technology is being worked on, and of course is in the future. We need something now, so we're looking at what we can get now and how we can build upon that in the future. So it's exciting that we're working in this area, and I think it's timely that we do this because we're seeing what transboundary diseases can do to industries. We've seen the poultry industry with high path avian influenza. We now see what's happening in China with African swine fever. Mm-hmm. We hope that all of those transboundary diseases for beef stay put and don't come here. But we'd like to be prepared, and we're working on that. And this farm bill funding will certainly be very helpful in that regard.
Now, beyond the actual actual vaccine bank, you were saying that there are those other two legs.
Yes. The final leg that we didn't talk about is the preparedness program. And right now they have just put out the monies for that and the projects for that. This year they did not have as much time to make those selections, so they went with exercise programs and drills. They'll be expanded past that, I think, in the future. They're going to form an advisory group, 9-member, I believe it is, advisory group, and we hope to have some representation from the beef cattle industry on that group to review the research proposals or the proposals for preparedness activities and make the selections and give the grant money out.
NCBA's Dr. Kathy Simmons. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
ITC Great Plains is your energy superhighway and holds transmission-only utility status in Oklahoma with authority to construct, own, operate, and maintain a regulated high-voltage transmission system. ITC Great Plains is a good neighbor and proud to be a part of the 2020 Youth Expo, the world's largest junior livestock show. Be watching for and listening to coverage of the Oklahoma Youth Expo on the Radio Oklahoma Ag Network at OklahomaFarmReport.com. Powered by ITC, your energy superhighway.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.